Here's the truth that nobody wants to admit. Extremes grab attention, but history remembers those who find balance. Welcome back to the Finding the Middle Ground on the Middle Ground Mike Mondays. I'm Joe, your guide through the noise of the week. This Monday, we're tracking six major flashpoints: intensifying famine in Gaza, renewed Ukraine conflict tensions, breakthroughs in the Epstein case, and more. Let's see where reason finds a seat at the table. Don't miss the deeper analysis of the stories we can't fit in this show. Sign up for our bi-weekly newsletter at themiddlegroundmike.com/newsletter. If you believe in what we're doing, join us on Patreon for just $1 a month, and your support keeps independent balance alive, and you get your first 7 days for free. You know, we'll kind of kick it off a little bit, starting about the Russia-Ukraine war developments. NATO's coalition of the willing is shaping security guarantees as Russia stalls negotiations once again. You know, I know President Donald Trump has ruled out using American troops on the ground, but he is, I believe, committed to supplying arms to Ukraine, which I'm at this point, normally I'm pretty anti-war per se, but President Trump has gone above and beyond to try to come to a middle of the road peaceful solution for this. And Russia just keeps playing games. So at this point, yeah, we really do need to do something. We really need to put the pressure on Putin to put an end to this. And if that means we've got to go to extremes, not talking all out war, but if we got to really push the buttons, that's what we need to do. You know, NATO military leaders led by General Dan Kane and supported by, you know, other key nations and things like that have convened to design a long-term security support for the country of Ukraine. You know, it's something that we got to have long-term, right? It's really helped the region develop. You know, we've got to make sure Putin knows that he can't just keep going and doing this. We have to be better than that. You know, there's innocent lives being lost here. Kids, mothers, fathers, brothers, uncles. You know, we have to be better. Russia claims that they want to come to a peace deal if there's land given up. But then Russia turns around and keeps firing. You know, Russia is striking, you know, there's been deadly artillery hits. You know, drones are flying into Odessa. A Russian drone even breached NATO airspace over Poland. And technically, according to NATO, that should be an act of war, but they're not. You know, they're not going to because, you know, I mean, that would be an all-out conflict. You know, we'll kind of approach a little bit of it from like a middle ground angle, right? So amid the violence, alliances are adapting, right? Like Trump and NATO have come to an agreement. Now NATO's in with Trump. Trump's in with NATO. We're on the same page. You know, the real security means proactive defense. Not escalation or surrender. Balancing deterrence with diplomacy is our real challenge. You know, they have to do that. You know, they got to get Putin to do it. You know, they were talking about at one point really putting the pressure on India and their gas supply, buying gas from Russia to kind of really put the pinch. I would really do it, right? Like I had said in my previous Middle Ground episode, we need to take the Kevin O'Leary approach. Slap a 400% on tariff, everything coming out of India, including services, right away. And you will find that India will backtrack real fast on buying Russian oil. Because they need our money more than they need Russian oil. They need Russian oil to move things, but they need our money to buy Russian oil. So I guarantee you we do that. That puts a crimp in the Russian progress. And we can really nail it down. The Kevin O'Leary approach, I think, would definitely work. It would take to an extreme. It would go very fast without firing a single shot. Man, what a genius approach. And he should have done that with China to begin with. But, you know, I think we definitely need to get China to the table to solve this. And if we can get China to put some pressure on Russia, I think that we can really make some progress. You know, especially with Xi Jinping, him and Putin are pretty close allies. So we've managed to make progress with China on trade. So I think we can do some more. All right, let's move on to a little bit talking about Gaza and the conflict over there. Man, it just seems every week the news just gets worse and worse, and the rhetoric coming from Benjamin Netanyahu to be just more, wow. You know, the UN, I mean, they're declaring a famine in Gaza. Hospitals are overwhelmed there by starvation amid intensifying offensive objectives from the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF. You know, at some point we have to figure something out. You know, Israel needs to realize, or not Israel, my apologies, Benjamin Netanyahu needs to realize that he does not own Gaza. He has every principled being to be opposed to Hamas, but he does not own Gaza, and he needs to back off of Gaza. He needs to leave Gaza alone. It's not an option. It's not up to him. It's up to the international community. Get the other Arab states involved. Not after you've done wiped the place out and killed tens of thousands of children and adults. Get them involved now. If you don't want Iran involved, get Saudi Arabia involved. You got Kuwait. You got Jordan. There's plenty of options. You're not trying to look for them, Benjamin. Do better. You have to do better. Just as, you know, a lot of famous people would say, you must do better. You know, it's just, it's not optional. We have to do better. There's kids dying. You know, the medical teams are reporting increased skeletal conditions among patients. You know, some of these kids are too frail to recover. How would you feel, Benjamin Netanyahu, if it was your child sitting there starving, frail, can't even recover when you're giving your child food and the things it needs because it's so worn down? I'm pretty sure if that was happening to your children, Benjamin Netanyahu, you'd be willing to back down. You'd be willing to find some compromise. You don't own the Palestinian people. What happened to Israel on that attack? They had every right to retaliate, but it has gone too far. Too many innocent people are dying. You know, they're saying now 1 in 6 children under 5 is acutely malnourished. The famine zones are now officially declared. They're saying 1 in 6. I guarantee you that's what they know, but it's probably far worse than they know. It usually is in situations like this, and it doesn't come out for years because I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot of things being covered up by both sides. The situation is going to be way worse than the media even knows. It's going to be way worse than any of us probably will ever know. And the only people over there that will know are the poor souls that are suffering. It is not right. We have to do better. America needs to put pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu to pull this to a close and stop being his stooge. We're better than this. This isn't something we would tolerate if this was on our soil, or if this was on the close allies of our soil. If this was happening to Israel, we wouldn't sit by. So why are we allowing it to happen to other people? I get that there is a lot of bad people over there with the Hamas and, you know, supporting different things, but there's a lot of innocent children that are dying. And by us not doing the right thing, we're creating more terrorists down the road. That's not what we need, and that's not what we truly want. You know, Israel is still expanding its offensive into Gaza City, leaving civilians trapped and the aid deliveries obstructed. How can Benjamin Netanyahu really truly expect Hamas to make progress with them when they're blocking food for innocent children? You know, you talk about, oh, well, they're using these things as rallying cries. Yeah, they're going to use starving children as a rallying cry. I would. If my child was starving, I would use it as a very big rallying cry to be like, this guy is bad. I'm not trying to cause a rallying cry, but that is what he is doing. He's creating more problems for the Israeli people down the road. And I believe I read last week that there was over 100,000 Israelis that protested and wanted an end to this war. Let's end this war. It needs to stop. You know, civilians being trapped. If they're not Hamas, why are we trapping them? What do you get out of this besides some sense of you gotcha and you're punishing the ones who did it? But if they're innocent civilians, you're not punishing the ones who did it. You're punishing innocent people who are A, possibly going to become terrorists down the road. B, their children could become terrorists down the road. Or C, both. That's a problem. You know, and as we kind of talk about, like, again, let's approach it from a middle ground, right? It's not about politics or blame. It's about the basics of humanity. It's beyond the strategic objectives of Israel and Hamas. Its real decisions must center on preserving lives. Calls for ceasefire and aid corridors must rise louder. It's got to come from everywhere. Israel and Hamas both need to have no option. We need to force them to come to a compromise. We have the ability to do that. The Arab world has the ability to do that if we partner with them. Let's make it happen. We can do better than what we're doing for these people. The whole world can. Innocent children and things like that should not suffer because of our inaction. As a world, not just as America, as a world, we're letting this happen because everybody has their preference aside and how they feel about one religion or one side or the other. But innocent people are dying. Innocent people that all they did literally was wake up, get out of bed in the morning to go eat breakfast. There's nothing being accomplished here. At this point, it's just pure rage. That's all that's being exacerbated is pure rage. You know, we'll kind of expand a little bit further. Let's dig down into these Epstein files, right, people? Epstein files. Release the files. Right after this short break. Hello, everybody. It's Joe from the Middle Ground Mike. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at www.themiddlegroundmike.com/newsletter. Comes out twice a month. All right, let's kind of talk about Epstein files and Ghislaine Maxwell's statements. You know, the DOJ has now released the Maxwell interview, but no client lists or new revelations. Courts refuse to unseal grand jury transcripts, I think, without the victim stuff being redacted. You know, only 1,000 to 33,000 pages are going to be released are new. Many are flight records. The rest rehash known details, video court records people already have. You know, at least we're getting 1,000 new documents. You know, here's something I want to say. So a lot of people are saying, you know, Trump could have done this year. Well, back in 2024, Biden could have done it as well. Let's face the reality here, folks. If there had been anything in there that would have put Donald Trump in prison for life or to make sure he couldn't run for president again, you can bet your butt that would have accidentally leaked to the media. And the same goes for Biden or Harris, things of that nature, right? The GOP would have accidentally leaked that to the media. So let's really approach this from a balanced perspective, okay? Nobody's advocating protecting any pedophiles. Nobody's advocating anything like that. At least here at the Middle Ground Mike, we are not advocating anything of that nature. We want what is really going on, whether you're left, whether you're right, Republican, Democrat, socialist, communist, whatever. Who, if you did something wrong, child molestation, you should go to prison for the rest of your life. If not, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell claims she never witnessed Donald Trump or President Trump misbehave and denies the existence of the Epstein's so-called black book client list. To be fair, she's always denied that. You know, federal judges, including in New York, and these are Democratic judges too, folks. Let's make sure we're understanding this. Some of these judges have been appointed by Democrats, not just Trump people. They have denied the public release of the grand jury transcripts, ruling that the materials add little public value and maintaining grand jury confidentiality. Now, I believe down in Florida did pass a law, or DeSantis really kind of, I don't know if it was an action or if it was a law, but he made essentially so the grand jury transcripts from down there or something of that nature could be released if they wanted. But let's be real. I mean, you know, there are some pictures out there that have come out that a lot of people, at least, you know, from my angle, we didn't know existed. It's, you know, a lot of things are suspect. I don't know if we'll ever know the truth. I don't think we will. I don't think we'll ever know what really happened. It's sad, but there's a lot of people that covered it up. And let's be real, a lot of people on both sides covered this situation up. It's not okay. I'm not saying it's okay. But who do we go after, right? We got to figure out a way to start. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen under the Trump administration either, because once the public started putting pressure on, Donald Trump backlashed. He backlashed his own supporters. The people were diehard supporters. I mean, he pushed back, called it a hoax. Wasn't a hoax when you were using them to your advantage. Very disappointed in the president's response to this situation. You know, let's kind of take a little bit of a middle ground approach to it, right? Transparency is vital, but so is cautious scrutiny. We have to be cautious. We can't just go one way or the other. You know, Maxwell's record and the disputed value of these released documents demand measured attention, not sensationalism. Don't go, oops, he told you there was nothing there. No, it could be, right? She could be England. She has also said she is seeking a pardon from the president. So could she be saying that in an effort to get that pardon? Who knows? Maybe. Probably. You know, let's demand meaningful truth, not just the headlines. Stop looking for just headlines and start asking for the truth. And for the love of everything, stop being so toxic in comments on sites that just because one thing goes away doesn't mean the whole world is one way or the other. I have seen some of these things and everything, if it's not this, it's not that, it's all pedophilia protection, pedophilia. Not everything is about that. The Epstein situation is horrible, but there's so much more going on in the world than just that. Is this something that should be at the top of their list to reveal everything that they have? Yes, but the wars are real. Ukraine was happening long before everybody really started to care about the Epstein Files hardcore again. The Israel-Palestinian conflict was going on long before everybody started caring about this again. So stop acting like these things are a distraction. They want you to get mad about that. They want you to think it's a distraction because then all you're going to do is argue. You're not going to demand transparency. You're going to point fingers and say that it is a conspiracy or a cover-up. Stop buying into it. We have to do much, much better than that. We can't sit there and, you know, go, oh my God, because he cut taxes. He's cutting the taxes for the pedophiles, or because he looked at the moon, the moon's for pedophiles. Stop with that nonsense. America, we got to be better than that. We are better than that. Let's demand transparency, not secrets. Stop being loyal to a party over your country. Be loyal to your country over a party. Because remember, as soon as you don't toe the line of that party, they will gladly kick you out. Don't believe me? Look at Bernie Sanders, perfect line. He didn't toe the line, they hosed him. I'm not a fan of Bernie's policies, but Bernie was the choice of the people, and he got hosed by his own party, the people that claim to care about democracy. I'm not saying that as a pro-Trump moment, but I mean, it's very real. You know, it's kind of, let's go a little bit more of a global, explore around, you know, the other areas a little bit. My younger Ukrainian sympathizers, oppressor creative drone tech and sustained aid. You know, but North Korean troops are reportedly bolstering Russia's efforts. You know, if North Korea is getting involved, how can Russia sit there and say anything if NATO gets involved? If I was NATO, if I was Trump, I would be sitting there going, if you've got North Korea, we're going to send something in. Because now you're making it more than just the U versus Ukraine. Now you're involving other nations. And if they're going to do that, we should go in there and just completely decimate the Russian army with bombs. Decimate. Do I advocate wanting to go to war? No, but if you're going to bring other nations into it, we should make sure there's a swift and quick end to this situation once and for all. You know, it's just sad that Putin seems more concerned with telling us all what we want to hear rather than doing something to save people in his own country, save innocent lives. You know, I've said it before, the Soviet Union isn't dead. It's just called Russia now. They got rid of the Soviet Union part, and they still have a Soviet premier. His name's Vladimir Putin. He came from the KGB. So it really is just a different version of the Soviet Union running Russia right now. You know, the humanitarian urgency in Palestine. Over 1,300 Palestinians have been killed while seeking aid across Gaza, seeking food, water, medicine, and they've been killed for seeking help. What a tragedy. Israeli Defense Force has taken tactical pauses, supposedly insufficient amid continued shuttered convoys and violent dispersal of desperate crowds. They're desperate. That's why they're acting out. They have no food. They're struggling. You know, behind every headline, lies reveal lives. You know, technology, power plays, they matter. But in Gaza, it's about survival. In Ukraine, it's about sovereignty. We have to find a balance on this. Like I've said about Ukraine, Crimea, it's pretty much a Russian, it should be part of Russia in a lot of people in Crimea's eyes. I think that would be a good starting point to maybe kind of go, hey, here we go. We can come to a compromise. We can once and for all settle this. I don't know. I'm not that guy, right? But I think that is a good starting point. And there has to be some compromise. Even in the Gaza situation, Israel has to compromise. Netanyahu has to compromise. You don't get your way or no way. Like, that is such a childish way to do business. This isn't World War III. It's not. We need to stop taking these people's lives needlessly. So as we kind of wrap it up here, everybody, you know, don't forget that this podcast stands for thoughtful conversation, not chaos. Subscribe to Finding the Middle newsletter for exclusive stories at themiddlegroundmike.com/newsletter. Going to help keep us powered and being an independent media and get us in the top five. Let's see if we can get to top one on Apple's news commentary podcast. Join us on Patreon for 7 days free, then $1 a month after that with bonus content and strength to keep our balance alive. You know, in a fractured world, the middle isn't indecision. It's intentionality. It's choosing humanity over headlines. It's building bridges when bridges look broken. This week, let's ask ourselves, what's the courageous middle? Whose lives can our empathy save? How do we hold on to balance when the world pivots off center and stay true to ourselves without giving up who we are? I'm Joe with the Middle Ground Mike. Thanks for listening. Keep finding the middle. See you next Monday.